Welcome to the latest edition of the IDEA podcast, brought to you by the Irish Development Education Association. In today's episode, we will hear a story of change from our guest speakers who took part in the writing of our very first edition of IDEA's innovation magazine, The Catalyst. But let me tell you a little bit more about The Catalyst before we dive in. Catalyst is a magazine that was born out of a desire to celebrate IDEA's members' inspirational work, and it was an attempt from IDEA to capture the combined expertise of our wide and rich sector and to spotlight global citizenship education's spirit of innovation. In this episode, you will hear about our speakers, who they are and when they come from, but you will also hear excerpts of the conversations we had with them at the launch of our magazine at which they were invited. The magazine is about what we do, why we do it, and why it matters. It's about how we do things differently and how, like a catalyst, our projects or one specific way of doing projects, of thinking, of designing them, of learning, how all of that can make a real difference. And what we attempted to do and why we invited those speakers is to try to capture what exactly that difference is. So if you're interested in the magazine, head to our website where you can either order a copy for free or download it easily with a click online. And you'll see that the magazine is a collection of stories. Hopefully these stories can help us learn and grow as practitioners, not through training, academic knowledge, although those are extremely important and crucial to our work, but in this instance, through a very human thing, which is storytelling. The people you're about to hear are at the heart of our work, the reason we do what we do, and we wanted to bring them and their voices directly to you. You will hear about the projects they took part in, and you will hear the difference it made in their lives or in their way of seeing the world or doing things. Our first speaker is Aoife. Aoife is a Global Citizenship Liaison Officer at Meath Partnership. She holds a Master's in Climate Change, Policy, Media and Society, with further qualifications in Management of Sustainable Development and Global Citizenship Education. Aoife was a co-founder of a non-for-profit organization advocating in the field of youth, disability and sport. Aoife is passionate about volunteering with local organizations, charities and sport organizations, consulting on the transition to a greener, sustainable operating model, and is currently the chairperson of a local climate action group. Let's hear about Aoife and the project that she looked after.
Thank you so much, and thank you to IDEA for inviting us not only to share our story in the Catalyst magazine, but also to share it with everyone here today at the launch. So thank you very much for that. We'll briefly introduce the project. Unfortunately, some of our participants who had fantastic stories to share were unavailable to join today. And I'll explain a little bit why further into our story. But Connecting Cultures, Sustaining Our World stemmed from another project. And unfortunately, this project didn't reach its full capacity as a result of COVID. And that project was EU Voice. EU Voice looked to mobilize young people living in direct provision or young people seeking refuge and asylum here in Ireland through volunteerism in their local communities. When the pandemic hit, the primary objectives of that project were no longer deliverable. We did our very best, but it's very difficult to try and find volunteer placements in organizations that are barely operating themselves during that crisis. And it became apparent to us during that time, though, that many of the participants really had this passion and desire to make that connection with their new communities and to find ways to, I suppose, to support their communities. A lot of them mentioned about giving back to the communities that had been quite welcoming to them. And others noted that they wanted to learn more about the communities that they had been living in for quite some time, but unfortunately just hadn't really had an opportunity to integrate or find a way to, I suppose, engage with their community. And during this discussion with a lot of these participants on EU Voice, we sat down and said, right, is there something that we can develop that will really embody suppose, their needs, the needs of the community, and a learning opportunity for, say, the volunteering organizations or the local community organizations. And that's really where Connecting Culture, Sustaining Our World came from. So the program uses GCE to support integration and mobilize young people to become active citizens in their community, to work with their local communities, and to really find a place in their new communities where they can make changes on social issues or global issues, and use the knowledge and the experience that they have from home, wherever that may have been, and bring it to their new communities to share and to grow and to enhance these local organizations that are so fundamental in small communities. The program it's split up into five phases. So in 2022, we kicked off with phase one, which was quite a large research piece, and it really looked at integration mechanisms that were already in place in County Meath. And really what we wanted to do was try and see, well, what's already in place, how can we support it, and how can we encourage more growth, more implementation of integration, and I suppose mobilize young people and adults as well to actually engage more with these methods. So from the first phase, the research phase, well, we developed a research report that's available on Meath Partnership website, and it documents all our findings. But the findings really were the pillar for phase two and three of the project. And that involved developing a bespoke GCE training program for adult and community educators, and also for refugees, asylum seekers, and migrants, primarily living in direct provision centres in Meath. During that time, as we began to deliver the training, unfortunately, the conflict in Ukraine kicked off, and as a result, we had an influx of Ukrainians living in Meath and requiring additional support. And we were able to adapt Connecting Cultures, I suppose, to meet their needs. And naturally, they became our primary focus at that time, based on what Meath Partnership does and who we reach out to in the community. But from there, we were able to develop a bespoke, as I mentioned, bespoke GCE training program for Ukrainians that were living in pledged accommodation or accommodation centres all over Meath. In that first year of the project, our focus really was on climate change and environmental sustainability. We didn't want to, I suppose, dive right into this project, trying to cover many different issues and trying to, I suppose, incorporate them into our training. We wanted to start with something that is quite a prominent issue, but also something that's manageable and something that a lot of our local organizations in Ireland, such as the Tidy Towns, are already looking at and are already engaging with. So phase four of the project then was really using the training that had been provided to the participants and finding volunteer placements that would help them, I suppose, implement that learning into action. And we were really, amazed by some of the opportunities that the participants had made for themselves as well. And that's really, I suppose, the story that I want to focus on today is when we went out looking for organizations to take on volunteers. We were really really grateful to the organizations that took part, such as the Tidy Towns. We had volunteers out in Sanarta. We had volunteers with Meath ICA, and it was really amazing to see those. But I suppose the real benefit that an impact that we seen was from the volunteers who created their own opportunities. In for one example, we had a gentleman, Zaza, and a really I suppose passionate man, passionate about the environment. And all he wanted to do was plant trees in his accommodation center and build a garden and build a community for the younger members of his accommodation center. From that, he had gotten in contact with the Tidy Towns, was doing a bit of work with the Tidy Towns, but wanted to bring in more of the residents in the accommodation centre, and he set up his own group to try and work and build. And his end goal was that community garden, and it's something he's still working on now, and something that we've been able to support with, which is amazing. Another one of the, I suppose, the successes of the project was a group of women who began with coffee mornings and inviting residents out of the centres to another location, in this case a GAA hall, for coffee mornings, to share poetry, to share art, to share music, and really to provide that space for them. At the beginning, we were there to support with a couple of the coffee mornings, and those coffee mornings are still running to this day. And they have been, I suppose, what we've gotten back is that they are so impactful and influential amongst the women in having that safe space and having that reason to go out of the accommodation centre. It's been beneficial for their mental health. It's been beneficial for their physical health. In some cases, they're walking, they're not getting the bus because it's only, well, it is the next town over. It's a relatively short distance to walk. But all of that success, and I suppose all of that impact, hasn't been without its challenges. And we have faced a fair few within the project. But none of that, I suppose, can put a dampener on the impact that the project has had and the impact that we hope it will continue to have with our target audience. That first year was I suppose, a fundamental learning journey for us as an organization delivering the project, and something that we've been able to, I suppose, put into practice now as we begin to deliver the project again. Just one final thing that I will say is all of our lessons we wrote down, and we created this, I suppose, reflective piece on what we learned from our target group, what we learned about working with specific people and specific backgrounds and cultures and everything. And we put all of that into another booklet as well. So on our website, you'll find the research report and also a lessons learned toolkit that shares all of the successes of the story much better than I can here today. Again, thank you so much to IDEA for having us here today. And we're really delighted to be, I suppose, recognize the work that we have done within the Catalyst magazine. So thank you so much.
We hope you found this inspiring. I certainly did. And if you want to learn more about the project, do head to our magazine for pictures and more details. Our next speakers are a group. It's Kate and Hazel. Kate will set up the stage and tell us a little bit more about the Sustainable Passport Programme and the organisation she works for. Hazel will then share how her own personal experience and how she came across changemakers, her feelings about the Sustainability Passport Programme, and how engaging with changemakers has impacted the sustainability work that she's doing with the Rathmullen Tidy Towns Group. Kate is a project worker with Changemakers Donegal. She has a background in science and biology with experience in adult and community education, teaching horticulture for the ETB and in local communities across Donegal and Derry. Kate has been involved with Changemakers as a development education facilitator for several years now and has a keen interest in sustainable food growing, organic systems, and natural beekeeping. She's also a songwriter, a musician, and a recording artist. She has written and performed projects addressing gender issues and female representation in Irish history. As for Hazel, as I mentioned, she has been a participant at the Changemakers Seeds for Change and Sustainability Passport. She is the Honorary Secretary of Rathmullen Tidy Towns Group in County Donegal, and she has worked as a financial controller of the local Donegal radio station, Highland Radio. Since retirement, Hazel has further immersed herself into community work, and although she did a lot of that previously, through her involvement with Letterkenny Rotary Club and Donegal Hospice, these are just a few of the activities that Hazel has been involved in, and she will tell you more about it herself now.
Thank you so much for the introduction, and also thank you to IDEA for the inclusion of Changemakers on our project in the first edition of the Catalyst magazine, which is fantastic. We're delighted, and also for inviting us along today to take part in this lovely launch and storytelling, which, as Anya has said earlier, is so important to the learning process. So I'm just going to just tell you just a little bit just about Changemakers first, and then hand over to Hazel. So as Anya said, I'm a project worker with Changemakers Donegal, and Changemakers is a global citizenship education project. It's made up of five, we're actually in our 12th year, by the way, so we're delighted about that we've made it this far. It's made up of five project partners: the Inishowen Development Partnership, who are the main project lead, alongside the Donegal Education Training Board, Self-Help Africa, Trokra and Concern. And our main funder is Irish Aid, and we target adults across the county of Donegal. So as part of our annual programme of activities, we deliver a small grants and mentoring programme called Seeds of Change to support community groups to carry out their own global citizenship projects. And recently we launched a new programme called the Sustainability Passport. And the Sustainability Passport has digital resources across five main areas. And they're tailored to individuals and groups, community groups, voluntary groups, social enterprises and businesses. So it's in order to support kind of whole communities to become more sustainable in their daily actions. So that's kind of the Sustainability Passport in a nutshell. But really, you know, I think it's important that we hear Hazel's story. So today, Hazel has very, very kindly agreed to come along and tell her story. She represents the Rathmullen Tidy Towns Group, who are currently carrying out a Seeds of Change project with Changemakers and participating in our new Sustainability Passport programme. So I'm going to hand over to Hazel now and look forward to hearing.
I'm really privileged to be here, and it's nice to have the opportunity to talk to you all today about the change of the Seeds of Change programme. Rathmullen is a very small village on the shores of Loch Sleagh, about 20 kilometres outside Letterkenny, and it's situated on the R247 on the Wild Atlantic Way. So we are right on the shores of Loch Sleagh. We're steeped in beautiful scenery, beaches, birds, wildlife, and everything that you could possibly hope for in a beautiful rural area. However, post-COVID, like a lot of villages, we're suffering from the downturn of the economy, and we don't have very much, you know, closing businesses and people working away from home and everything else. But we have a lot of, our population is just under 1,000. But it really swells during the summertime when we have a lot of tourists come to the area, do avail of all the facilities and everything else. And as you can imagine, that creates its own difficulties for any tidy towns group, because, again, we're suffering with littering, and our biggest bugbear is single-use plastic. But we do our best, and we try to present the village and the beaches to the best of our ability, because that's where we... that's what we are and what we're all about. But we've only been in existence as a tidy towns group for about since 2017. And we try to increase and work on our biodiversity, our sustainability, and our circular economy with reuse and recycling and litter control every year. So as Kate has said, sustainable development goals have always been very important to us as we go through all of those cycles. In fact, we work a program with TY students where we have them come to Rathmullen for a day, and we talk about the sustainability development goals. We take them on a documented litter pick. They download the information then to Diversity Ireland, and it all works hand in hand. But getting back to the Seeds of Change programme, I first heard of this when I attended a public participation networking meeting in Letterkenny last autumn. I had never met Kate before, but everything that she said during that meeting really resonated with me. And, you know, we as a Tidy Towns group, we already were doing a lot of that stuff. But the fact that, you know, you could highlight each of the different categories under different areas really made sense. And the fact that you were going to get an accreditation at the end of the whole procedure, You know, it was really just so straightforward. It appealed to me. In fact, that's where that photograph was taken, the one that was on the slide earlier. So my friend and Ailish McLean, the chairperson of the Tidy Towns group, we sat in on a few Zoom meetings online with other groups through change makers subsequent to that and through the initial development partnership. And again, these seats of change and the sustainability passport, it was just ticking all the boxes the whole way through for us. And it was definitely something that would be very important to all Tidy Towns groups going forward. So again, we always try to promote climate change and the sustainability days, and it's a win-win situation for us. And then also the added advantage of the change makers, we would be going to be getting a mentor to work with us as well, so that we could, you know, they could, she, he could encourage us along the way. So as Kate said, they provide small grants for community groups and organizations, so to execute their own projects. So we in turn put in an application last December to see if we could run a class in Rathmullen. We had completed several machine sewing courses previously through the ETP, and they were all making items from stuff that we acquired in charity shops. We upcycled, we recycled things and used recycled materials all the time. For instance, I don't have one here just at the moment, but we made an over-the-shoulder bag that had a little pouch for putting your water bottle into, or your passport, or your change. And it was made from the sleeve of an anorak, which we found in the charity shop. So everyone made themselves one of those little bags. As part of our Tidy Towns work, we have reclaimed bicycles that were headed for landfill from the local recycling centre. We've painted them up in brilliant colours, and we've added planters to them, and they're all over the village. In fact, we've also has rescued wellies from the children in the schools, and we put planters in those as well. But anyway, going back to the Seeds of Change programme, we applied for the grant, and we had a lady who's thrifted, perfectly thrifted interiors. She uses all locally sourced materials, and we decided to have a class in January, starting in January, all from materials that would be easily accessed within the home: balls of string, buttons, scrap materials, tin cans, paper books, you name it, they used it. And we advertised it in our social media online and in the local newspapers, and we had a full class scheduled to start on the 6th of January. But as you know yourself, the weather this winter was dreadful, and the dates had to be chopped and changed quite a few times. So this was, it didn't actually finish there until the 12th of March. Moira has become so enamoured with the sustainability passport, and as part of our, you know, the different ways that you can acquire your passport, emphasising waste and energy, reuse or recycle, responsible consumption, biodiversity and gardening, equality and inclusion, all of that is available online, or you can have it on your phone or whatever. But Moira, our coordinator for the classes, was so enamoured with the whole thing, as were our students, I have to say. They were really, really taken with it, that Moira has now decided, as a business person, to put her business through the sustainability passport as well, because it's a win-win situation for all of us. You know, we can now work further in developing our sustainable development goals. We can now work for fair trade, pollution, consumerism, social justice, migration. We can all embody all of that now into everything that we do in the Tidy Towns. You know, through the Seeds of Change program and through mentoring with Orla, our mentor, and as you know, it's always very difficult working within a community to get the message across to the rest of the people in the village. But we're lucky in that even if we don't integrate with them face to face, we have our social medias, we have our local newspapers, our local radio station, who are all very supportive, and they are getting the message out there themselves. It's coming at them in all directions. They see what we're doing in the village. They appreciate what we're doing. And it is getting the seeds of change message across. And, you know, little things like encouraging other people to do things, you know, like highlighting marine litter or, you know, the detrimental effects of plastic. This is all coming back to the seeds of change and how one person, no matter how small, any one person can make a difference. And, you know, it's amazing. You know, like just greening your wardrobe, for instance. We attended a function run by the Sustainability and the Initial Development Partnership about how you can change your wardrobe, shops, you know, shop sensibly. Don't buy imported goods. Support the local markets, support the local farmers, shop markets, reuse, recycle. You know, don't drive all the time, use the bus or cycle. It's a no-brainer. It's all there. You know, act local, think global.
Thank you so much, Hazel. We really appreciate you taking the time as well to come and speak about engaging with changemakers and telling the story. Because I think it's when you hear voices of how people actually engage with and participate with in these programs, that's where the real kind of learning is and where you can see that change is happening across communities in Ireland as well. So thank you very much, Hazel.
I hope you found them as inspiring as I did. I am thrilled to introduce you to our next speaker, Ibera. She is a third-year law student in Maynooth University and was a participant of the Ideas Collective hosted by STAND last summer in 2023. At the Ideas Collective, she developed an intersectionality awareness workshop targeted at universities to help them incorporate intersectional frameworks and systems to ensure equity in the workplace. The workshop was designed to be malleable to host any organizations or individuals who would be interested. Her aim was to create awareness about intersectionality, and the workshop was targeted at people who are interested or simply curious about social justice issues.
It's an honor to be a part of this or to speak at this amazing launch of this magazine. And I was just like reading through it, and like even the name Catalyst, like it's so out there, and it sparks change and progression and everything that I guess involved in, and everything like all the amazing speakers above me, I mean before me, have spoken about. Like, yes, yeah, so I'm happy to be here and guess share my story. Where do I start? I guess last summer I was involved in the Ideas Collective, which is a 3-month summer boot camp, activism camp for changemakers to kind of find a solution to, I think sometimes we focus on like the SDG, so the Sustainable Development Goals, to find a solution to one of them. And in those weekends and in those summer months, like I developed so much, and even like global citizen education, like I've always known about it, but I never knew it was even that name. And just even like all the workshops we attended and like the bonding with like-minded change makers, like is so instrumental to my development as a person and as an activist. And yeah, it was amazing. And I thank STAND for everything, because they were so helpful. They were so supportive. I remember like going through my intersectionality workshop, which I'll come to in a second, with all the staff in STAND. And like, they gave me great feedback. They connected me with people who could like really help me establish my goals and my aims as an activist. And it was just amazing all around. So I'm grateful for STAND. Definitely. And I know in the magazine, Claire has also mentioned Surety Peace. So it's definitely worth reading, yeah. I guess. Just under the flag. But also in the summer boot camp, Meet the Ideas Collective, I developed an intersectionality workshop, which basically it is, as Anya actually described, is targeted for universities. Because but in those workshops, what I really wanted to achieve and what I wanted to learn, because I had like the I really wanted to develop awareness about intersectionality. And for those who may not know, because it's like time for me to really learn, intersectionality, very put simply, is a framework that allows people to identify with multiple identities. Because normally, and I guess in society, people like to put us in a box, people like to put people in a box. And intersectionality removes those boxes and let people identify with every single thing. And I think what made me want to like cater this workshop was basically because lots of students, they work so hard, tirelessly as well, to come to these institutions, to come and receive education. But these education institutions like don't really provide much equity and equality to students. So I really wanted to create that workshop. And I have successfully hosted it. I hosted it in Manitoba University with my student union, and it was really supportive. And lots of lecturers and students came. So I've seen the fruits of it, which was really nice. And I've also been joined with Athena Swan, which is the Equality Diversity Board, I guess, for higher education institutions for equality, diversity, and inclusion. And they've also wanted me to present that workshop there and join their intersectionality working group. So all in all, my experience with STAND, and I guess my experience with global citizen education, has been amazing. I just want to thank STAND and thank IDEA and Anya for letting me speak today.
We hope you enjoyed Abera's story as much as we did. Last but not least, it is my pleasure to introduce to you Mansa. Mansa is a Brazilian educator and communicator. She's a social activist committed to creating the future and the present. She's the author and co-author of several publications on education and civil rights. Since 1992, she has been a member of the CECIP, or Center for the Creation of Popular Images, where she has been participating in projects of education for a culture of peace and global citizenship. Mansa was joined at her magazine launch by her colleagues all the way from Brazil, and she took part in the Bridge 47 project, the Transformative Learning Journey. If you want to learn more about Bridge 47 and this program, you can find more details on our website and the magazine. I will now let Mansa tell you her story.
Welcome to my story, dear friends. My feet touched the ground in São Paulo, downtown Brazil, in a noise mixed neighborhood called Liberdade. That's freedom in Portuguese. I've been working for 3 decades as an educational change facilitator at the Center for Creation of Popular Images, CECIP, a civil society organization based in Rio de Janeiro, near São Paulo, and we are committed to strengthen citizenship and to promote the rights of humanity and nature, working with children's educators, youth and city managers in projects focused on education for a culture of peace, communication, and technologies. I want to tell you the impact of the Transformative Learning Journey, an initiative of the Bridge 47 project, had in my life as a social activist committed to building now a future of justice, peace, and joy. 2019, at the eve of the COVID pandemics, I was exposed to this powerful educative experience led by Teresa Kaikova, Marie Vilpers, and team in a big house surrounded by trees in the village of Forde, near Berlin. The principles I've learned there not only made me start to see global citizenship education through different lens, but helped me to better navigate through challenge years of catastrophic climate change, terrifying wars, and sick democracies. Also, I could better exercise my freedom to care for and to transform the local territory where I live, implementing micro experience of social change. In 1992, I was in my early 40s when the Earth Summit, the Conference of the United Nations on Environment and Development, happened in Rio de Janeiro. I had just started to work with CECIP, and we were there dreaming of a world that could put aside a destructive model of economic development and draw a roadmap to another possible world. 20 years after the Earth Summit in 2012, When the United Nations Conference on Sustainable Development was held again in Rio, it was clear that the destructive economic model continued to be dominant in our planet. 7 years later, in spite of all our efforts, Brazilian democracy had been undermined by this powerful economic force. In 2019, we had as our president a representative of the extreme right elected by a vast majority of citizens. In the same year, when we were all asking ourselves how could be possible such a throwback, I was called to participate in the transformative learning journey representing CECIP. I became part of a group of 21 activists from 15 countries on four continents, who met two times in October and December 2019 to reflect on the root causes of the systemic crisis our civilization was plunged and that could be to reflect on what could be done locally to face it. In total, we spent less than 10 days together. However, the bonds that formed between many of the participants did not dissolve and remain strong till today, 5 years later. I have three granddaughters. I call them my granddaughters because all younger people for me are my granddaughters here of the transformative learning journey here with me today. My question to you is, what could possibly have happened so that in a such short space of time, previously unknown people started to care so much for each other and to collaborate, overcoming time and distance? The answer lies in the methodology used in FORD by the facilitators to introduce us and make us experience the principles of education for global citizenship otherwise. For me, it was great to discover that this approach was formulated by a group with a strong presence of the Global South called the Colonial Futures Collective. We are introduced to the thoughts of a Brazilian, Vanessa Andreotti, based now in Canada, and her cartography, The House that Modernity Built, which graphically highlights the supporting structures of the global capitalist model that destroys nature and humanity that are represented as the roof, the falling house. The fundamentals of this model is the illusion of separability, with the denial of the connection and interdependence of human beings among themselves and of human beings in relation to other living species. We are invited to try an approach that opposes this one, called In Earth Care. It is the proposal for a radical reconnection of human beings with each other, with other species, and with the Earth. Uncountable small actions, such the ones that were related today, connected all over the world, could act as mycelium, a mass of tiny branching entangled roots that carries nutrients to the surface of the earth and stimulates deep transformations. The transformative learning journey in FORD offered us intense experience in which we are able to listen to each other's stories around a fireplace, and more than that, to listen to nature around us and within us. We gather around an immense tree, our magic tree, and we practice listening to the voices of the plants, feeling what the grass says when under our feet, and identifying and honoring the four elements, earth, air, water, and fire, inside us and around us. We experimented moving forward and backward in time, and could understand how it's possible to experiment, to be simultaneously in the past, in the present, and in the future. Somehow, we became shamans. We used drawing, music, gesture, and silence to express ourselves, to communicate, and to connect. In a mysterious way, we were prepared to face the increasingly challenging years to come. The connections we created in Fordi supported us when in Brazil, a far-right government was cutting down forests and killing indigenous populations. Now, even now, we are raising, this group of Fordi is raising their voices against the ongoing massacre in Gaza and against all wars. We are strengthening planetary articulations for a cooperative and solidarity economy and have connected South America and Nepal in the World Social Forum. Here in the photo, you can see one of the travelers, Rijal from Nepal. These experiences in Fordi encouraged me to start developing my activism, not only in the major projects of the organization where I work, CICIP, but in my own territory. My first action experiment, which I called Freedom to Care, because it was my neighborhood is called Freedom, Liberdade, I implemented in the block where I live, in the central region of São Paulo. It creates possibilities for breaking isolation and fragmentation, promoting affective and relational justice, inviting different individuals and organizations close in space, but emotional and socially distant, to recognize others and eventually discover complementarities that enable cooperation. The focus is to bring together the dreams and desires of people and organizations in the territory, and has to do with taking care of the management of garbage that in my neighborhood is freely disposed on the sidewalks. Take care of the trees and the green areas that are not seen. They are there, but people do not see them. And take care of the interactions between people that live in houses and people that live in the streets, that the ones living in this tent near where I live. Through this project, I am listening to the people who live in the streets, collecting their stories and making them feel they are human beings like me, because they are not seen, they are not recognized as human beings by the people who live in houses. There is another project that I'm developing inspired in the Fordi teachings. It's called Sacred Land, and I'm developing it in a small city near São Paulo, 600 kilometers from here, where I travel from time to time. The name of the city is Pauliceia. It's the place where I lived when I was a child. There was, my house was there in this building. My parents lived and worked there. My parent was a physician, a doctor. And now there is no house, but there is this empty space there. And I am inviting the city, this small city, to mobilize and to occupy this space. And soon this space will be transformed in a urban forest, with trees and with a community garden, and children will play there. This is the drawing we've made of the project that we are implementing together. And this project, one of my granddaughters has connected this project to the international movement of urban forests. It's a granddaughter it's a Slovenian that lives in the United Kingdom. And then in the future, this small village of Pauliceia will be connected with urban forests all over the world. I want to finish this presentation with expressing my gratitude for the opportunity I had to connect with wonderful people around the world and stay connected with it, and make you reflect on this image. This small tree growing under the roof of this abandoned build. This is what we as educators for global citizenship do all the time. We transform things. And it's our intention to jointly transform the world that moves the transformation. So thank you for listening, and let's stick together, transforming the world step by step in our local territories, but linked globally.
Thank you so much, Mansa.
It is really hard to follow after an act such as Mansa's storytelling. But I will pop back in for just another couple of minutes because I would love to tell you about the process and the journey that IDEA went through when coming up with the magazine. We want to tell you how this idea came to life, but also the more practical and logistical behind the scene aspect of this process. So when I think about things, or when I come up with strategies or new ideas, I like to ask myself some basic questions. But before we move on to those questions, I have to be honest. Every idea I've ever had was inspired by someone else or something someone else says. In this specific instance, it was a quote that I read in the UNHCR Innovation Handbook that I recommend to anyone that's looking to work on innovation in the nonprofit sector. When IDEA launched into working on innovation, that involved for me a lot of background research and reading. A lot of people are currently trying things outside the established norms. A lot of our members are iterating, failing, trying again, succeeding, but we didn't have a space to celebrate it properly. And so I read, it is in this context that I came across this quote: "Be brave and courageous. Innovation is not an easy process, but it is worth it. You will have to iterate and fail along the way, but use it as an opportunity to learn. It may be difficult to try something outside the established norm because the status quo lends itself to comfort, but take the risk to try something new and it will pay off dividends in the end." That is the end of the quote. And as I said, we know our members are currently doing that, but how do we capture it? And most importantly, how do we capture it? Maybe in a different way. So I looked at the why. I like to articulate, as I said, my thoughts around questions. And so I articulated them around four pillars. Why am I doing what I'm doing? What is the source? What will be the source of this output? In this case, it's the widespread practice and example of innovative works that exist in our sector. What is my aim then? My aim is to create a community of practice, at least on paper, but also to build the confidence of all of our members to do such innovative and groundbreaking work. And also to share stories, to share learnings, to share really inspirational and motivational things that are happening around the world today. And then what is the content was my third pillar. We wanted the content to be by our members, maybe by experts in case that was interesting and could contribute or help us learn something. And it would also be by our audiences, which at the end of the day will be our members. But also maybe strategic stakeholders, people that we struggle to reach out to. What if this magazine could be a resource that you can hand out to a neighbor, your family member, any colleague that is struggling to understand what it is, what global citizenship education is? Once I had that structure and pillars in mind, I moved to planning the how. That is my second question. I mapped our membership. I mapped the possible topics and angles. I looked at stakeholders we could interview. We researched the project. We drafted some questions. And then we held the interviews, had transcripts for this interviewed, and look at what flow and structure would fit best this magazine, which led us then to write the articles. But what? How would what would the name of the magazine be? What is it going to look like? What is it going to look like in the hands of the people that will be our audiences? We worked with a brilliant designer, Claire Lynch, and a writer and journalist, Rebecca Root. Claire Lynch, our designer, looked at a brainstorm with us, and she suggested, after hearing our ideas for the magazine, the name The Catalyst. Because of the world's words such as impact, effect, experimentation, being brave, change, she showed us pictures of colourful and energetic elements, things that are moving, things that are constantly changing. And we were really excited about what that was going to look like. And then we decided we needed a little bit of a different format, which is why if you do decide to order a copy of our magazine, you will see a beautiful recycled paper, environmentally friendly print in a recycled and recyclable poly bag that looks like a real newspaper. And that was something we were really excited about. We hope that this can be a resource that you have on your coffee table, or that you take with you on your commute to work, or hand over to family or friends. Many thanks for listening to this latest edition of the IDEA Podcast, the National Network for Development and Global Citizenship Education in Ireland. You can learn more about IDEA by visiting www.ideaonline.ie. This episode is funded by Irish Aid at the Department of Foreign Affairs. Irish Aid is the government's overseas development programme. Irish Aid also supports global citizenship education in Ireland to encourage learning and public engagement with global issues. The ideas, opinions and comments therein are entirely the responsibility of the Irish Development Education Association and do not necessarily represent or reflect the Department of Foreign Affairs policy.